Oh, that's right. How you doing this afternoon? I am Ann Eller right here on WCRS. We are having a good afternoon here today. We've got a very special guest for you here today, Rocky Burgess. Yes, Rocky is back with us. He is running for the State Senate. That's State Senate District 4. Recently, last week?
Mm-hmm.
Last week, Mike Gambrell was elected to that office. And I tell you what, it's the session will be over next week.
That's correct.
Next week. And now Mike has to run again against you for this seat because it was just a fill-in, really.
Yeah,
I guess you could call it.
It's been very confusing, and I've had more questions than anything on that particular subject. Why are we running again?
Yeah, so this on the 14th will be the... This will be it, right?
It'll be it for the full 4-year term. Mike and I are both vying for the Republican to be the Republican nominee, and then in November, there's no Democrats run unless you count Mark Powell, unless he's certified.
Right.
I think that's still up in the air. Whoever wins June 14th will be unopposed in November.
Wow. So, how has it been going, Rocky?
So far, so good.
So far, so good.
Working hard, getting out, knocking doors, and doing radio stations, and making phone calls.
So, what do you see in talking to the folks? What is what worries them? What bothers them? What is important?
Well, it's kind of varied. And keep in mind, I've been doing this since January, so it changes, believe it or not, with what's happening in the legislature right now. Two of the major issues that are coming up is the transgender issues, mm-hmm. as well as the medical marijuana has been a pretty hot topic lately.
So, that and I would think ethics.
And ethics. Ethics has kind of died down a little bit. The folks have been pretty good at pushing that one under the rug, so getting out of the public view.
Well, I think ethics is going to be kind of big coming up here real soon, though.
I think it will probably end up in the next session. I don't think they'll do any addressing ethics this session. I may be wrong.
Maybe. Well,
they might be able to squeeze it in.
Well, I just saw where the House of South Carolina House has forwarded the ethics reform bill back to the Senate, meaning it could be one vote away from heading to the governor's desk if senators do not amend it again.
I don't think there's a whole lot of desire in either the House or the Senate to actually do meaningful, comprehensive ethics reform. I really don't see that there's a whole lot of will there. Maybe wrong.
Why not?
Well, it's pretty obvious when you're controlling your own affairs and overseeing your own affairs, and you're able to stonewall when the public has questions. There's absolutely no reason to try to remedy that situation. At least none that I see.
None that you see. Now, you recently sent a letter to the Ethics Board about Mike Gambrell's and his campaign finance.
I did. It was brought out at the first election. And it's not just him. This is pretty much across the board.
But your letter was on him.
Sure. My letter was specifically in regards to his campaign expenditures. I didn't bring it up. I think a local newspaper in the Anderson area had brought up that there was some questionable campaign expenditures, and his comments to the media and public comments were that my stuff has been audited and no irregularities were found.
Mm-hmm.
So in my course of checking into that, I called the House Ethics Commission, and they refused to speak to me about what years it might have been audited or what that process is. So I sent a Freedom of Information request to the Chairman Bingham of the House Ethics Committee, and I got a response back.
And the response was?
Basically, take a hike.
Take a hike?
That's pretty much what it was. It did state that there had been some audits, did not confirm nor deny that Representative Gambrell had been audited, nor what years, nor any reports that I asked for, any audit reports or that may be associated with it. I got none of that back.
You know, I think part of what is going on, whether it's Senator Mike Gambrell.
He is now senator, yes.
That's right, Senator Mike Gambrell, or anybody else. These things are difficult to get to the bottom of, and yet we had a huge case with Representative Harrell.
Sure.
And I mean, I think that more than anything else should have showed. I mean, everybody, I'm going to just say this. Everybody knew that if you didn't toe the line with Harrell, that you were not going to get anywhere in the House.
Sure. And I don't know there's changed that much since Harrell.
Maybe not. But my point is, everybody knew, and if anybody did challenge Harrell, then they ended up on the toilet cleaning duty, I believe it was,
sure.
Or something similar to that.
Look, the general public and the press has a right to be able to ensure that that our elected officials are doing what they say they're going to do, and they're acting appropriately. And I'm not saying anything criminal or anything like that's
sure.
going on, but there's things that are questionable. And I think oftentimes that members of our General Assembly maybe walk that gray line or oftentimes even cross that gray line with very little repercussions after crossing those lines.
Okay, but how important do you think the public thinks it is?
I don't know. I think it's very important,
but
I don't know about the average person. The reason I think it's important is because ethics is indicative of pretty much every issue that you can think of. If you're doing things that are unethical, how can we trust you to make good decisions on our behalf on any issue?
Mm-hmm.
How do we know that special interest groups aren't buying your vote, and you may be voting on things that may not be in the public's best interest, but in the best interest of yourself or in the best interest of special interest?
So when you look at this, why are you running for this seat?
That's a very good question, Ann, and I'm glad you asked. I'm a small business owner. Prior to that, I served in the military, and prior to that, I was a sheriff's deputy. As a small business owner, I see problems, and I fix those problems. I fix them in relative short order. I don't take a whole lot of time to fix them.
Happen to do that undercover boss thing, do you?
Not often.
I mean, because it's really a good show when you see the things that bosses find out. I was watching it last night, you know, and you think about in a large enough organization where you could do that.
Sure.
You really learn a lot of neat things.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of good information comes out of that. Helps companies make good decisions. But I see those problems on a state level, and I see legislation being passed that has adverse effects on my business, your personal life and my personal life, and I do think I can do a better job. I really do. I think I can do a better job at making our government more efficient, more transparent, and more accountable.
Now, but to the people of Greenwood, I mean, I think that one of the things that worries me
mm-hmm.
is that, for years we had Senator Billy O'Dell right in our backyard, right here. And I think that a lot of us are very, very concerned about what's going to be the effect, whether it's you living in Williamston or whether it is Senator Mike Gambrell. How do we know that we're going to hear anything back down here? Should either one of you in this office, but you specifically, since I have you sitting right here across from me.
Sure. No doubt about it. Senator O'Dell was a friend to all of us. I live over in the Williamston area in Anderson County, and I probably saw Senator O'Dell probably just as much as you did. I saw him quite frequently. He would show up to our meetings, and one thing you had to say about Senator O'Dell, whether you agree with his political philosophies or not, he was definitely very good at constituent services. He was very good at listening.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's tremendously important. I think that Greenwood is a tremendous asset for Senate District 4, and you guys have a lot of good things going for you. I know I'm down here quite a bit, and on the campaign trail, that's one of the big issues that I've heard, too, from people in the Greenwood area is they're afraid that if someone from my neck of the woods gets elected, that Greenwood's going to be forgotten about. Now, keep
sure.
in mind, in Senate District 4, Greenwood's just a little small sliver.
It actually doesn't cover the whole.
No, it doesn't. It covers basically 25. I'm coming in from Anderson County, which would be from the Greenville area, 25 on the right all the way to 72 bypass, and I think back toward Abbeville County. So it's a small section. But I think it's a very important section of our district that certainly shouldn't be overlooked, and we should definitely give it the attention it deserves.
So how do I know that you'll be here? Because I actually live in that district.
The only thing I can do, Ann, is tell you that if you got questions or concerns, call me. If there's an event coming on, let me know. I'll be glad to be here, whether I'm elected or not. I'm down here quite frequently. I've been down here twice so far last week, just on business stuff. So I'm down here quite a bit.
Okay, so ethics is an issue that you don't believe anything much is going to happen with.
I doubt it will happen this session. I could be wrong. I hope that I'm wrong, but I doubt that a whole lot will happen with it.
About the only thing that the House and the Senate have to agree on is to let themselves be governed by a body outside of their own parlance, outside of their the House and the Senate.
It's my understanding that the legislation you spoke of, this proposed, basically allows an outside group. And if I'm not mistaken, it may be the State Ethics Commission. Mm-hmm. And you correct me if I'm wrong, Ann. It's been a while since I've read it. But it's my understanding that they basically just review and then consult back with the House Ethics Committee or the Senate Ethics Committee with their report. And then I don't even know if that's going to be public knowledge once they do that. If that information, their findings are public knowledge, but it's pushed back out to the House and Senate still to overlook and oversee themselves. And that's not true ethics reform. It's a start.
Right.
But it's not true ethics reform.
It says the bill would create an 8-member commission, half appointed by the governor and the other half by the House and Senate. Only half of the governor's picks could come from the same political party, and none could have donated to the governor's campaign.
Okay.
There's a good point.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Okay. The legislative picks would be split evenly amongst the two parties, although the same restrictions or contributions would not apply. The House version is slightly different from what passed the Senate, mostly in terms of when the complaint against an elected official would go public. The measure passed 101-2 with one opponent saying it does not go far enough since the House and Senate would still determine the punishment after a violation was found. Nothing could still happen if the House or Senate Ethics Committee chose not to act. Or if they chose not to act, they could also choose to be very lenient.
I agree with that 100%.
Okay, so that is the problem, but that is where that's at. At least it would start maybe an opening of the door as far as what goes on.
Well, there's still, keep in mind, I don't think the House version actually releases that veil of secrecy of what's going on during the investigation or even after the investigation when their findings are turned over back to the Senate Ethics Committee or the House Ethics Committee. I'd have to really delve into that bill a little bit further and see if it truly removes that cloak of secrecy that currently exists.
Okay. All right. Well, ethics reform is something we're talking about on all levels, not only here in the state, on our local offices. How are things over there in Williamston since you're on the council over there?
Believe it or not, I actually had an ethics complaint on me once upon a time, and here's the great thing about it. I didn't know any of those people that were investigating me. It was just a complaint. It was an unfounded complaint, but it was a complaint nonetheless. And any person has a right to lodge a complaint if they feel like that their elected officials
sure.
being unethical for any reason whatsoever. Though that panel on the State Ethics Commission reviewed whatever it was, and they immediately issued findings that were, like I said, it was unfounded.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's very important. We're totally different. The local elected officials, county and municipal elected officials, fall under the State Ethics Commission. Same rules apply, or very similar rules apply. The great thing about this is we don't know any of them, and they hear testimony and take statements and stuff like that, and they come up with a finding that's public knowledge.
Hmm. And not necessarily so when we get to the House and the Senate.
That's correct.
And that is the difference. And so I guess my question would be, why wouldn't they all be the same?
That's a good question.
That seems logical to me. What's good for the municipalities and the counties should be good for the House and the Senate.
You would think so. I'll give you another example. You said what's good for the House and Senate should be good for local municipalities. You would think that's the case. And today, if you decided that I sent an email out and you wanted to take a look at that email, you can send a Freedom of Information request out of the town of Williamson, request every single one of my emails, and they have an obligation to provide you those emails back.
Yes, Freedom of Information. Right?
And part of my Freedom of Information request, I asked for just specifically any campaign-related emails that occurred from Senator Gambrell's email, was then Representative Gambrell's emails. So it was very specific. You know, I didn't ask for a wide range of 2 years worth of, this is very simple. Mm-hmm. If it pertained to campaign related stuff, which by the way, you cannot do, it's illegal to do. I did not get a response back stating,
what's illegal to do?
It's illegal to use your state email for any campaign purposes. In other words, I can't go to Rocket.
I didn't know what you were saying was illegal.
Sure. Okay. I can't use my Rocket WilliamstonSC.us email that's state issued or city issued.
Right.
To send out any kind of campaign-related materials or anything like that. I asked that for those specific things, and I was given a response back from the legal counsel at the House Ethics Committee.
Right.
That the House has an exemption. All state legislators have an exemption from their state email, and that Representative Gambrell was exercising that exemption. Now,
does that mean anything that you asked for on his, that he emailed, that you would not have any right to see it?
That is correct.
Any other representative?
That's not just his. That's any senator or any House member's email. They wrote themselves an exemption, so they don't have to disclose that.
They can choose to exercise it or not, or they can say, sure, go ahead and send it to Rocky.
And in this case, Representative Gambrell, through the House legal counsel, advised me that he was exercising that exemption. So that's unfortunate. You know, my thoughts are,
what does that say to you?
Well, if you don't have anything to hide, mm-hmm. put it all out and let the public decide. You know, it's pretty simple. It tells me that there's most likely campaign-related emails out there. I'm just speculating, but it tells me that's most likely the case.
Well, do you think that could be an oops?
It could be an oops, and most likely it is an oops.
Right.
But here's the thing. If we're going to serve on important committees like the House Ethics Committee, mm-hmm. we expect our elected officials to be above reproach.
Right.
Okay, that's not to say we're infallible.
Right.
But we should be above reproach, and we should be on par where people trust their local government and their state government. If we can't trust our state government, and in this case, I think we're kind of leaning that direction where a lot of people don't trust their local government or their state government. And that's very, very unfortunate. I think that our
federal government's already there, right?
Federal government's been that way for a long time, all right? But we should at least be able to trust the folks we have dinner with and go to church with and stuff like that. So.
Sure. Well, so these are the issues that you find kind of bothersome. Yes.
A couple of them.
Okay, those are a couple of them. I tell you what, let's do. Gracie's gotten a little excited. Let's hear a word from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
Gold. Gold. More precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here. Sharp Facets Gallery this afternoon. Gracie has calmed down here. You know, we touched a little bit on ethics because I think that's on everybody's mind, whether it's on the state level or whether it's on the federal level. I mean, we've been dealing with this for months. And I think part of the problem with the ethics thing is that we have been dealing with it for months on the federal level. And I guess that's maybe somewhat why people are just kind of, you know, it's an issue. I mean, Hillary has been ethics to death, and she's still mm-hmm. on a campaign trail. By the way, who are you voting for? Are you going to support Donald Trump, or are you going to support Hillary, or are you going to support a third party?
I am absolutely going to support Donald Trump.
Okay.
He's going to be our Republican nominee, and I'll support him 110%. Wasn't my first choice.
Right.
But, hey, he's the nominee, and I think he's much better than the alternative.
Well, I understand where you're coming from on that, and I think a lot of people that are talking about sitting this one out are going to make a big mistake if they do.
Boy, I sure hope they don't. If they sit this one out, it's going to be tough. And I think that if they set this one out, our nation can't handle four more years of what we've been going through.
That's right.
The past 8 years.
You know, on a state level, you, of course, are going for state Senate seat number 4. What do you consider some of the biggest issues that you would like to see taken up, or let me ask it another way, are the biggest issues that the people that you're knocking on doors and talking to, why are they, what are they telling you that has made a lot of sense and that you want to carry forth?
Keep in mind, again, I've been at this since January,
right.
So those issues change fairly regularly. I've went from everything from the refugee resettlement to DOT and roads, and now we're on transgender stuff. So,
what do you think about the transgender stuff?
Well, it's very concerning to me that our federal government would put down a directive, which, by the way, is not law.
Right.
A directive is just that; it's a directive, stating that we would allow transgenders to use public restrooms, particularly in schools.
Mm-hmm.
And the way the schools used to handle those situations, I think they did a very, very good job at doing that. The school district should be commended. Was they allowed, when there was issues like that came up, allowed them to use a nurse's restroom or a staff restroom or something like that. This directive went a step further and says, you can't even do that because it may make them feel unincluded or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's a major issue. I got two little girls.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you, the first time I catch a man in the girls' restroom with my little girls, we're going to have some problems, big problems.
Well, you know, I just wonder, Rocky, are we headed towards a situation where we don't have male or female, we just have one restroom? I mean, I'm thinking this may be where we're going.
Well, I read an editorial in the, I believe it was the Charlotte Observer,
mm-hmm.
you know, because this issue's hit
right.
pretty
big
hot and heavy in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And that editorial basically just said, look, we all have to get used to there being no genders. We're just kind of come and go as we please. I don't know if you've ever. I'm sure you've been in. You grew up in the public schools. I'm assuming.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
You know, you got showers. You got restrooms. Some of which may or may not have a door on the stall.
Right.
I just see some major issues coming down with this directive.
I think it's a big one. I don't even know what the state of South Carolina has said at this moment.
I think most school districts have not developed an actual bathroom policy, if you will.
We are coming up on the end of the school year.
That's correct. I think most of them are just kind of hoping this issue will die. And chances are, by the end of the year, when our new president's sworn in and those directives may change completely, mm-hmm. and it may be a non-issue.
Right.
But Ann, more importantly, here's what I see. I see the federal government overreaching their power that's granted to them by our Constitution. They're dabbling into state issues, and this is a state issue.
Correct.
Probably more so even just a local issue than even a state issue. But with that being said, we're paying into the federal government. The federal government is taking our tax dollars and holding it hostage. You know, back in the day, you had the seatbelt. Whether you agree with or disagree with the seatbelt law, South Carolina may or may not have that seatbelt law due to the fact that the federal government was looking at pulling funding
mm-hmm.
From DOT. Same thing with the blood alcohol level, 0.08. Remember when we went to 0.08?
Mm-hmm.
Again, they held the purse strings, and then you got directives like this coming down that they're holding the purse strings. Whether you agree with them or not, I believe the federal government is definitely overreaching its power by holding our tax dollars hostage if we try to do anything different than what the federal government says. That's a major problem for me.
It's a major problem, I think, for a lot of the states. And you know, I think this is why when Obamacare came down, a lot of the states got together and sued as a group against the federal government. I'm not sure we had much of, you know, it made that much difference, but they did
right.
band together. But I just feel as the issue of this bathroom issue, and I think more important even than the bathroom issue is the shower issue for our kids taking gym and this type of thing. I don't know where this is all headed. I just can't imagine, really.
I don't know how they do that these days, but, you know, when I was in school, you were required to shower after gym class.
Right.
And here's the thing. I've been a high schooler. And I think you have to at some point in time in your
yeah.
life. And I think we can all agree that high schoolers and even middle schoolers, if you will push that limit. They're constantly testing the water to see how far they can go. And I'm telling you, it's just a matter of time, if it hasn't happened already, where you're going to have a young man decide he's going to enter the girls' restroom and pretend he feels feminine for the day
mm-hmm.
With the intent to to do harm or to just voyeurism or something like that. And that's going to be a major issue.
Well, you know, and I think the other thing on this transgender issue, you know, I don't believe it ever was an issue before it became an issue. I mean, there have, for years, we all know there have been transgenders using each bathroom dressed appropriately in either male or female.
And nobody knew the difference.
And now that they've ripped this Band-Aid off, I know it's going to, that this has changed everything.
Well, keep in mind, I've heard it said, and I don't disagree with it, that I think a lot of this, we have to be, anytime you have an issue like this that comes up that's a non-issue, you got to pay close attention to what's going on.
What the other hand's doing?
That's exactly right. Yeah. I don't know if this isn't a ploy just to get us distracted from what's going on with our federal government, because the federal government's very good at getting us distracted. Our local officials are very good at getting us distracted.
Exactly. So on the transgender issue, if you were in the Senate?
If I were in the Senate, I've seen Senator Bright's bill. I think it goes a little bit too far. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. In business, I do not support the government interfering with business whatsoever. And if you want to allow smoking in your business, that's fine. I've got a choice not to come in your business.
Sure.
If you want to allow somebody to come into the restroom with me while I'm using the restroom, or my daughter's, I have a choice not to come into your business.
Sure. So
I think the market takes care of itself. Look, Target's a prime example. Target chose to allow pretty much anything, any gender neutral restrooms, if you
right.
will, and I think they suffer the consequences result from it, from their the people not going to their purchasing in their stores anymore. So, you know, I wouldn't go that far, but certainly I think we have a moral, a legal, and an ethical obligation to look out in public restrooms, particularly those restrooms in parks and schools and government facilities,
to make sure that they are.
To make sure that they're safe.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, I've had our town attorney in Williamston to draft an ordinance that would prohibit these type things, but it included intent. In other words, if you were a transgender person and you came into the restroom and I never knew that you were any different,
mm-hmm.
You have no intent.
Right.
Okay. But if I can establish intent, in other words, that 17-year-old decides to enter the locker room with my daughters in there, I can establish intent just based on the totality of circumstances, yes.
Right. I understand. All right. Well, this is an interesting issue that certainly has taken a lot of time and effort away from things that could have been spent, I think, probably on a lot better things. But we are here with Rocky Burgess. If you have a question, give us a call, 229-7984, 229-7984. Looks like we blew through the news, but hey, that's okay. We're talking important stuff here. Rocky Burgess wants to be senator from District 4. He is in a primary runoff with Senator Mike Gambrell. If you've got a question, give us a call. Rocky, before we go, what's your telephone number if somebody wants to call you after the broadcast?
Absolutely. It's 864-844-2400. That's 864-844-2400. And we're also on Facebook as well. Keep in mind, my name is spelled with an E-Y, R-O-C-K-E-Y. So
all right.
Look us up. We'd love to have you as a friend.
All right. Sounds good. We'll be back. Don't you go away.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Wow, here we are right back here with Rocky Burgess. He wants to be Senate District 4. You know, you certainly are out there fighting hard. As you said, you've been working on this since January.
Sure. The message hasn't changed.
Yeah.
The messages remain the same. The way it's delivered might change a little bit differently. Doing a little more knocking on doors and a whole lot more phone calls. So.
Have you been able to make any, inroads here in Greenwood?
Sure, I believe we have. We've made good strides in Greenwood. Keep in mind, I was relatively unknown around February of this year, and to come against somebody like Senator Gambrell, then formerly Representative Gambrell, mm-hmm. Who had been serving for quite a long time. I think we've done a pretty phenomenal job, but it was a lot of hard work, a lot of effort.
Well, I think the biggest thing to me is it is so spread out in this district. It's Anderson, it's Greenwood, and then there's some small towns in between. And when you look at the voting, I think you had real good support, Williamston, even Anderson, you had good support.
Yeah, we had real good support in the Anderson area. Of course, those are the folks that know me. Those are the folks that work with me every day, that, dine with me and go to church and stuff like that. So I'm very, very fortunate to have that support. And I'm hoping that the conservatives in Greenwood will come to know me and will trust me to help make a difference in the South Carolina Senate.
Yeah, and then, let's see, then you had your, I'm just remembering back, you had your, at the park or something.
Yeah, we had the Jake Bartley Band.
Yes.
Yeah, those are some really good guys. I got to meet them several years ago. Several of the band members I'm close friends with, and was able to get them to come up. And
But did it rain on your parade?
It actually rained earlier that day.
That's what I was thinking about.
That evening was absolutely phenomenal. We had a very good turnout. Jake Bartley Band, that's Greenwood's band. That's their home band.
Yep.
And so your listeners, I'm sure, know them very well.
Absolutely.
And they did a phenomenal job. They came out. We had a very, very good attendance, especially considering the weather that was upon us that day.
Well, it's been a really tough couple of months with Hack passing.
Sure has,
and,
yeah.
So I know they appreciate the shout out there. But do you have any events planned between now and the 14th?
And I'm broke. I don't have all the special interest in lobby groups and PACs.
Well, why not?
Well, you know, that's
kinda, I mean, tell me why you can't get some of these guys.
Well, number one, I've had several offer.
Yes.
But their political philosophies do not line up with mine, and I want to make sure your listeners know, if you and I don't agree on at least 90% of the issues, I'd even say 80% of the issues, I don't want your support and I don't want your money. I've, for the most part, self-financed my campaign. I've put in almost $60,000 of my own money because I believe in my message, and I believe that what I'm doing is right, and I believe that we need change. PAC money comes. People don't give you $1,000 with no expectation of anything in return, and that includes PACs and special interest groups. Last check, my opponent had, I believe, raised $184,000 to run a race against me, a little over.
He's more popular than you are, Rocky.
Oh, no doubt about it. hey, but that's we're trying to change that.
Yeah.
I think it's important for our conservative voters to get out there and really look at voting records. Look and see where money's coming from, where it's going out to, and then make a determination on who best fits their mold for the elected official to represent Senate District 4.
I think, you know, one of the things that comes down the pike too, though, Rocky, is that people start out, I'm convinced, people, because I've been doing this long enough to see people that have started out and were fresh and new, and then they're there for a while, start out really committed to being kind of like what you're talking about right now.
I agree 100%. I've seen a lot of good people enter politics.
Yep.
And, you know,
over time they change.
And after about a 4-year term, they're totally different people than what they went in as. And I think the problem is a lot of our folks that come in with a message like mine, they get in there and they become wrapped up in the whole Columbia bubble, I call it.
The Washington, D.C. bubble.
Same principle. You're wind and dined by special interest and lobby groups. They make you feel like you're royalty.
Important.
And sooner or later, you end up believing that. And then sooner or later, you start forgetting about the people that elected you to look after them and their interest. And instead, you start looking after special interest.
Your interest.
Or your personal interest.
Right,
yes,
exactly.
That happens frequently as well.
Right. So how do we change that? How do we get the new blood into local government, state government, federal government? How do we get the new blood in there that's in and then gone and doesn't get, shall we say, corrupted over time?
Number one, you have to go into it knowing that what you're going into and expecting that to happen, and making sure that you have a group of people that will hold you accountable, whether it be your entire electorate, or if you do like I do. I already made it a point. I've got about 10 individuals that are my group that don't mind coming to me. These are very close people that don't mind coming to me and say, hey, Rocky, you're out of line. And here's why you're out of line. I don't intend to go to Columbia and stay in Columbia night after night. You know, I don't know if you've been to Columbia after hours, but it's a
party town.
It's a party town, and like I said, you get wined and dined by a lot of these special interest groups, and next thing you know, you're voting in support of some of their causes and issues that may not be in the best interest of the people that you represent. So I've made it a point. I will commute, you know, back and forth every day if I have to. I'm not going to make a commitment to say I'll do that every time, but for the most part, I've got a wife and kids at home. That's where I want to be every afternoon, every evening with them.
Well, what about term limits, though?
Term limits are a great thing. I think that in order to have fundamental changes that we need, we're going to have term limits.
That seems to be an ugly word, though, you know, and the people that have to vote on it are the people that are there.
Yeah, well, you know, and I respect both sides of the argument, too. You know, I've heard some people say, well, you know, if Rocky's there and he's doing a great job, why should we have to bring him home if we feel like he's doing, you know, exactly what we want? So I understand both sides, but I think that if you look at the totality of circumstances when you don't have term limits, the cons far outweigh the pros.
Well, do you think the electorate wants change? Truthfully, the electorate, those people electing people for office, do they want change? Or let's just take me, for example. I love being able to pick up the phone and call somebody that I've had on this show that's in public office and ask them a question and have them on. It's tough establishing relationships and having that same, where that legislator knows that if I'm asking them a question off the record, that they'll answer it to the best of their ability. And when I want them on the show, that they'll be here on the show.
I do believe that the public does want change. And I'll use the presidential race as just a shining and glowing example of exactly what I'm telling you. People are sick and tired of the same old, same old. People are resistant and hesitant to change. But I do believe that politically right now, people do want change, and they deserve change. For far too long, we've had stuff shoved down our throats that are not in our best interest, and I certainly do believe that people do want change.
So do you think that, as you see things going forward, do you think that people are going to take a chance on you, Rocky?
I sure hope they will. Here's the thing. The special elections were decided by a very, very small minority of people, okay? In June, while it's not the November election, there will be a lot of things on the ballot. So
we have a lot of races.
While they're there, I'm sure
Greenland.
You guys probably have a pretty hotly contested sheriff's race. Sheriff's races seem to draw people out. I have no earthly idea why, but people are very, very passionate about their sheriff.
Yep.
So, you know, in Anderson County, we'll have the sheriff's race on the ballot, as they will in Greenwood and Abbeville County. So I think that'll be very important in drawing people out. And while they're there, while they're taking that morning off of work or that evening on their way to work or on their way home from work, I'm hoping that they'll stop by and check that first box that says Rocky Burgess, because they heard him on WCRS. And they know that he's going to be a conservative and look out for their best interest.
The budget as it sits right now, where they're at on the budget? I mean, they're teetering on whether they've got a deal. They've put more money in for the roads and bridges. We're talking about, are we going to have any money left over? Do we put any money away for a rainy day anymore, or do we just spend it all?
Well, right now we've got $1.6 billion in budget surplus. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's money that's unbudgeted that has came in. One of the big issues that I see and a major problem with our budget is, number one, that the local government is still not fully funded. It's unfathomable to me that our state legislature, and this is contrary to state law. State law dictates how much that your county government and your municipal governments are to be funded.
Mm-hmm.
Since 2008, local government has not been fully funded. And you say,
well, they needed the money.
Well, that's true. You know, nobody argued. I serve on city council. I wasn't there in 2008, but I can assure you that your county council members and your city council members, in 2008, those were tough times. All right? So everybody had to tighten their belt, and I don't think anybody complained that the local government fund was going to be cut. Everybody knew it had to happen. What my issue is when you have $1.6 billion, that's with a B,
mm-hmm.
$1 billion in budget surplus, and our legislature, state legislature, is still not fully funding local government. That to me, that's asinine. And you wonder, how does that affect me? Very simply, Greenwood City just had one of the largest tax increases. That I think they capped out on their millage. They did every, in other words, they raised taxes as high as they possibly could. Mm-hmm. There's a reason they had to raise taxes as high as they possibly could. Local government is not fully funded. Your local municipalities and your counties don't have a means or method by which to collect a tax to fix roads. We depend on the C funds for that. Okay. When we're having to fill potholes and do stuff like that out of general fund monies versus being able to use C funds, that dips into our reserves as well. So local government is very, very important to me. Anderson County alone, the failure to fully fund local government has cost Anderson County $4 million this year.
Just this year.
So I don't remember what the statistics are for Greenwood and Greenwood City. But like I said, it's unimaginable to me that we'd have $1.6 billion and still not fully funding education, which is also by state statute, mm-hmm. and local government fund.
And that's something that they can make the decision to do.
Very easily make that decision.
They just have to vote.
Yep. And I've contacted my local elected officials on the state level, and what I've been told was, well, we're doing a lot more. We're doing grants and stuff like that. And that may be true. Mm-hmm. But here's the problem with that. As an elected official in the town of Williamston, they may put out a grant for a walking trail or something like that, and that's all well and great and nice. But we've got to still maintain core functions of government, okay? That your police protection, your fire protection, your roads and bridges, stuff like that. Those are core functions that we have to be able to have funding for. And unfortunately, the state legislature said, well, we're going to do grants instead, which ends up being a hope and a prayer that you might get a grant, and those funds are restricted when you do get it.
Sure.
So I had much rather know that there's going to be unrestricted funds coming into the town of Williamston, or the county of Greenwood, or the city of Greenwood, as mandated by state statute, to be able to use that money for whatever we need to use it for at that particular moment.
So you're telling me that if you were in the Senate seat, that would be one of the things that you would push for?
Absolutely. You'll find no greater friend in the local government than me. I can assure you, I feel those shoes. I know what it's like. I know what it's like to try to balance a budget. I know what it's like to balance a business budget. I know what it's like to balance a home budget. And I certainly know what it's like to balance a local government budget. We're going through budget stuff right now, and I'm telling you, it's tight. It's extremely tight. Town of Williamson hadn't raised taxes in many, many years, but we're feeling the pinch.
So will you have to raise taxes?
No. We're not. And we're not cutting services either.
Okay.
You know, I'm proud to say, Ann, if you read the papers and you watch local media, you'll know that Williamson City, prior to me coming on council and, you know, several years back, had some major financial problems, to the point where we had to auction off a great portion of the city's assets just to be able to pay payroll, federal payroll debt. I'm proud to say that since I've been on council, consistently we put back at least $300,000 year after year. I'm in my third term. Now, you say that's great and fine, but keep in mind, prior to me coming on council, we've been dipping in reserves over and over and over and over, to the point where our reserve fund was almost depleted completely.
Well, that's one of the things that is worrisome, though, isn't it? Even on a state level, are we going to have? We've got a budget surplus. We're not sending the money back to the counties. So, what's going to happen to the money?
Well, we're not putting it back in the taxpayers' pocket either.
Right. So, what's going to happen to the money?
That's a good. I'm sure they'll find a good thing to spend it on. I'm sure they'll. And you know they look out for our best interest. You know they're going to find something really good to spend that money on.
Okay. All right. I am here with Rocky Burgess. We'll be right back. Don't you go away.
Layaway. We've done it for over 30 years here at Sharp Facets Gallery. So whether it's Christmas, a birthday, an anniversary, or just because, we know layaway every day. Come see us today at Sharp Facets Gallery. Need more info? Call us 229-6613. That's 229-6613.
Oh, that's right. We're coming up to the top of the hour. You are listening to WCRS right here in Greenwood. We're going to talk over just a minute or two, but I'm here with Rocky Burgess. He is running for Senate District number 4, and that, of course, the primary will be on June 14th. So, This is the time when things start ramping up. In fact, every day this week, every day next week, every day the week after, it's going to be politics, politics, and more politics right here on WCRS's Meet Me at the Diner. But Rocky, we've touched on a lot of different issues. I think on this show, it's most important that people get to know who you are. And I know one of the things that was kind of boggling to you was that the NRA endorsed Mike Gambrell.
Yeah, that was kind of shocking. I received a candidate questionnaire on a Thursday evening, filled it out, submitted it about 8 o'clock that evening. And Friday morning, I got a notification via email that they had endorsed then-Representative Gambrell, and because he had an A rating with the NRA. Well, I kind of scratched my head. I'm a lifetime member of the NRA, and I can assure you, you won't find a stronger NRA advocate or Second Amendment advocate than myself. So it was kind of baffling. I did call them, and to find out why, I never got a response back from the Political Victory Fund, which is an arm of the NRA. But I was able to talk with the NRA, and they said that they always endorse the incumbent if that incumbent has at least an A rating. And I give Representative Gambrell that. You know, he's done a very good job, I think, with the Second Amendment, or at least a pretty good job with it. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't settle for an A when you could have an A-plus with me.
Well, I think that would be kind of hard, actually, because in truth, for a Senate office, neither one of you are an incumbent.
Well, this is true, but he had a voting record in the House, so they took that into consideration. I don't think they gave a whole lot of thought about it because their endorsement said North Carolina House of Representatives. So I kind of scratched my head on that, and I was like, it was kind of odd. So I don't think a whole lot of thought went into it, but I can assure your listeners, if they're looking for a candidate with strong Second Amendment, this very strong Second Amendment gun rights, I'm your guy.
Well, you know, the Second Amendment. People are always concerned, particularly every time we have a shooting or something that happens. There is a big pull by the liberal media, to do away with this and to do away with gun rights, and saying that this would solve a lot of problems if we were unarmed. What is your point?
It's pretty simple. Second Amendment says the right of the people shall not be infringed. It doesn't say should be infringed. It don't say it could be infringed. It says shall not be infringed. As a sheriff,
but if we really want to get into, just talk about this from the standpoint of what it was back then versus now.
I don't think there's a whole lot of difference.
You don't?
I really don't. People had guns back then. People have guns now. Here's what has always.
Well, I mean, it was supposed to be to be able to arm a militia quickly.
Well, that's true.
Yes.
And you know what? That the Second Amendment was put there in place to protect you from your government as well. Don't forget that.
Okay.
You got to understand the context at the time of which the Second Amendment was written. And I don't know that we're in that big of a different time at this point, at this day and age. But, you know, it's very important that we make sure that the Second Amendment's upheld as written.
Now, well, actually, if we take the Second Amendment, then why do we have to have a concealed weapons permit and all this other stuff then?
That's a very good question. Do I think it might be in somebody's best interest to have proper training? Absolutely, no doubt about it.
Well, does a concealed weapons permit actually give you good training?
It does. It actually does pretty good training. It at least gives you the basics. Okay, so you know, and I know because I've been through the CWP class.
Right.
And a lot of it depends on which instructor you get to and how knowledgeable they are with weapons.
Right.
But let me tell you this, Ann. I was a sheriff's deputy for 11 years. Not one time have I ever met a bad guy with a gun that was abiding by the law. Okay? Criminals do not care what our laws say. They just don't. When we enact legislation that restricts guns and restricts individual freedoms against the Second Amendment of the Constitution, it absolutely takes law-abiding citizens, because they're the ones that's going to abide by the law, mm-hmm. and ties their hands and leaves them vulnerable to become a victim.
All right, so in closing, what about constitutional carry, open carry? What about that?
I do support constitutional carry, absolutely. You know, I kind of shy away from the term open carry because people think the wild, wild west when you say open carry, but it's pretty simple. You look at the states that do have open carry, and we're one of the few that do not have open carry, mm-hmm. And it's not the wild, wild west. You know, it's the same thing as the guns in the bar bill that Representative Gambrell took a walk on that day and didn't vote yes or no. It's the same thing. If I'm in Applebee's with my wife and child, there's no and not partaking in alcohol, there's no reason whatsoever I shouldn't be able to be allowed to carry my weapon concealed on my person to protect my family in the unlikely event something should happen in that bar.
You know, I think one of the things that is most scary is that we're having such a tough time getting police, sheriff, people to take it on, to take on that job. And people that are very good at the job don't want the job anymore because they just feel that they're just, you know, having the video cameras is a good thing, but it also puts them in jeopardy on how to deal with, should I go ahead and shoot? I think that that's a big problem for our police and sheriff's departments.
And I wouldn't want that job for $1 million these days. You know, I've served in that role. Fortunately, we didn't have you know, in the time that I served, the media was fairly good to us. They at least gave those officers the benefit of the doubt. And here's the deal. If somebody's willing to go place their life on the line for you day after day, we owe it to our law enforcement to at least give them the benefit of the doubt. It seems like this day and age, we don't mind throwing an officer under the bus when they have to make split-second decisions. It's very easy for us to sit back in our lazy boy, watch the news, and make a judgment call on something that officer had within just seconds to make a judgment call on. Are they perfect? No. Do we have bad apples? Yes, but we have bad apples in every group. I still think that the good far outweighs the bad.
Absolutely. Well, as we wind this up, Rocky, I always try to give our candidates the opportunity to tell the folks why they should vote for you on June 14th. It's just really, it's just a little over 2 weeks away.
Yep. Well, I'm a firm believer that in our state, I think the best is yet to come. I really do. I think that I'm very optimistic for our state. I'm very optimistic that we'll get some good conservatives in this time that will challenge the establishment just like I'm trying to do in Senate District 4. And I think we can make some meaningful change this year on the national and the state level, and I hope to be a part of that change. And I would certainly appreciate your listeners' votes on June the 14th. And if I can ever help out in any way, please give me a call. My cell number again is 864-844-2400. And you can find us on Facebook at Rocky with an EY at Rocky Burgess.
Thank you very much for coming on
here,
Rocky.
Thank you for hosting us, and thank you to your listeners for tuning in today.
All right. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. You know you're on 98.5 and 1450 AM. Bye-bye, everybody.